Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 0-1. Swing and a deep fly ball. Left center field. Schneider racing back. Warning track wall. See you later. Solo home run for Tyler O'Neill, and the Orioles are in front 4-2. 2-2. Roped left field, base hit, bouncing toward the warning track in the left field corner. Jogging home, Jimenez. Kirk into second base, an RBI double, and it's 6-4. Here's 0-2. Lined left field, base hit. In to score, Clement. Bo Bichette stops at first, and he has tied this game with an RBI single. It's 6-6 in the eighth.
Yeah, I thought we fought hard. I thought we took really good at bats off Berrios. We've been pitching really well out of the bullpen. And, you know, today just was, you know, give them credit that they took good at-bats off Soto. Bichette got that, you know, piece of enough of one off of Cano there to drive in the tying run. You know, Rutch hits a huge double, gives us a position to try to win the game. Just didn't happen. I thought our guys fought hard. We didn't add on a ton, and they got some breaks late.
You heard the highlights courtesy of Blue Jays Radio and then Brandon Hyde after the game yesterday. The Orioles were six outs away from a little mini sweep, an opportunity to win two in a row for the first time this season. But alas, for the first time, the bullpen had some missteps. Gregory Soto, Yennier Cano, etc. And the Orioles lose to the Blue Jays 7-6 in 10 innings to fall to 6-9 on the season, Bone. That's for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's a silver lining to the slow start.
Yeah, it's good for the bone.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you're going to play 15 games,
yeah,
there's worse ways.
Yeah.
There's five worse ways for it to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, look, it's weird anytime you're playing a two-game series. It's weird anytime you're playing baseball with two off days in a row this early in the year. Look. There are some guys like Cedric Mullins who keep delivering. The bullpen wasn't going to be infallible, and the bullpen, frankly, hasn't been in a lot of high-leverage spots, and they haven't been. It's the first time they've been in any high-leverage spots after Bautista had pitched.
Yeah.
Which.
Because they were high-leverage on Saturday, but yeah.
They're playing 162 of these, so that's going to happen. And that's when I think that the lack of quality and depth will be compromised. Adley Rutschman keeps getting on base, you know. Big home run from him. Cedric keeps coming up clutch.
Gunner had a nice day on that.
Gunner, I mean, I still think they rush Gunner back. We'll talk about that a little more tomorrow. But he's seemingly getting his timing back. they're just not a very good baseball team right now. Like they can't string two wins together. The starting pitching is really compromised. Sagano's home start. I mean, he's seen this team. They've seen him. I would like to think we would have got something a little better than this. Wasn't meant to be, I guess. You sign a guy for 1 year, and you sign a guy that old. You kind of, and you lose three starting pitchers. You kind of need him to be a thing. There's a lot of pitchers who were on the market who came in and are a thing. So, you know, that is what it is. We wanted them to upgrade the bench. I mean, is it a better bench? I don't know.
It's more right-handed.
It's definitely more right-handed. Yeah. I mean, is Laureano toast? He might be.
Yeah. Hadn't looked good early.
You know? Is Charlie Morton toast? I know he's pitching the series, but he's about to again. He might be.
He hasn't looked good.
So I feel like I'm not here to defend Brandon Hyde, but like I don't think he's got a great roster. I don't think he's got a team with a whole lot of self-belief right now. It was good to see them fight and claw and come back and win a game. Like, we needed to see that. They needed to do that. They did it. And then they followed it up, you know, by melting down the next day. I mean,
a game that looked like was gifted to them. The errors from, and we'll get to Saturday in a few minutes, but the errors from Bichette and Vladdy in the same inning.
That's what makes yesterday that much more frustrating. Them coming from behind after looking lifeless for the first 3-4 innings in that game Saturday. And you had the 6-3 lead heading into the seventh inning. And this bullpen has been really good. And we know how good the Orioles' record has been when they score 5 runs or more, going back well over a calendar year. But for them to melt down at that point, bullpen-wise, where you got the break with Vladdy, the ball going off his mitt on Jackson Holliday, scorching that one. And you had chances. You had a chance to walk it off in the ninth inning when Adley gets that double with just one out to go. You were 0-13 with runners in
scoring. You really can't have strikeouts there, can you?
No, you cannot. Nope. And look, the ump did Westberg no favors. Yep.
Yeah, he should have walked twice. Yeah.
Terrible. Moments. I mean, look, they're not catching breaks. They're not making too many of their own breaks.
Cade Povich was not great yesterday.
No. No, he was not. And that's, look, the problem here is that's what a lot of 25-year-old pitchers look like, especially in this division. The problem is you got 36-year-olds and 41-year-olds who aren't better than that.
No.
So that's why the Povich thing gets a little bit more of a sort of fine line put on it, because you start looking at all these starts that aren't good enough. But like,
they're 29.
He's supposed to have growing pains. When you throw $27 million at two veterans, they better be able to get you 16, 17, 18 outs with some regularity. These guys can't get 15. So, you know, people, oh, he shouldn't have pulled Povich, da-da-da-da-da. Wait a minute. You people are telling me the strength of the team is the bullpen. Now, I'm telling you, I think it's a joke-ass bullpen, and it will be exposed when they have to actually get the job done. When you pitch Soto in the eighth inning, high leverage against lefties and righties, he will make you all look like fools. But like, if that's how they built it, and I heard Mike Elias on with our buddies, you know, Bowden and Duquette, and he's thumping his chest about the bullpen. Well, if that's just alleged strength of the team, and Cade Povich is a developmental starter still.
By the way,
somebody's got to get the job done.
There's no doubt that. It's on the bullpen yesterday, but that being said, outside of CNL Perez meltdowns, that's the first game that the bullpen has
you think lost. You think Keegan Aiken's going to have a year like last year?
I do not. By the way, I do want to point out, you were talking about the rotation and the 36-year-olds and 41-year-olds and the 25-year-olds. Our buddy Jacob Calvin-Meyer put up some stats earlier today where their starting rotation ranks in Major League Baseball. They are 28th in innings pitched, they are 29th in ERA, they are 30th in WHIP, and they are 30th in batting average against. There are only 30 teams in Major League Baseball when last I checked. So you put that together in a bouillabaisse, and that's why it's just not acceptable. And I know it's early, but it's not acceptable.
Well, and I mean, who's pulling them out of this?
Kyle Gibson.
Who's going to go and shove, you know, 3 out of 5 starts to make sure that they actually can win 3-4 games in a row?
They don't have that right now.
They don't have a stopper. They don't have a streaker.
It would have been Eflin, but he's on the shelf. And that's one guy.
Yeah, we'll see when.
I mean, I just think you have to get, I would just say get used to fits and starts. Because there isn't much consistent about this baseball club. And I don't think they're built to be all that consistent. Look at how many people are just, like, look at the rampant rotation on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Do you think that lends it? Especially with, so wait, you're going to go super young. You're going to be flopping guys in and out all over the place. You're not going to give a damn about the defensive alignments for the most part. You're not even playing pitching, marrying the defensive alignment to the quality of pitcher. And does he get ground balls? Does he get fly balls? Like, there's not much of that going on. You're not getting any length from your rotation because it's not really built to give you length because the guy put together a joke rotation. So this is what it is, man. Like, I think this is, they're showing you who they are. It's the same thing it was the last 4 months of last year. The sooner you believe it, the more you'll become resigned to understanding it for what it is.
Orioles are off today. They start a three-game series against the Cleveland Guardians at home tomorrow. We have a huge Monday show. Guess-wise, Maryland basketball. Buzz Williams has already brought in 8 players. He's got more to come. Keith Kavanaugh, Terrapin Times. Probably touching a little football as well because transfer portal on football is getting a little crazy for the Terps. He joins at 2:30. We'll talk football. Brian Wacker, draft is a week from Thursday, and if the Ravens draft luncheon is tomorrow. Get his thoughts at 4. And Eric Loggenhagen from Fangraphs. Their top 30 Orioles prospects are a lot different than Baseball America and MLB Pipeline. Get his thoughts on the Orioles farm system at 5.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also time to, you know, take people's temperature on, you know, not this prospect or that prospect, but like we're 6-7 years into this. How come there's one internet? Like, is it normal? Because again, we didn't have this in the old regime. Mm. Like, is it normal that you're 6 years into this and you've got one international position player worth a damn from high A to triple A? Like, is that normal? They're giving kids a couple million bucks here and there all over the place. Like, what do we think of their pitching development at this point in time? Like, where are the breakthroughs there? What does it say when you lose a kid in the minor league Rule 5 draft, he's returned to you and he's still a top 15 prospect?
The times there are changing, Jason. Remember when this farm system was loaded?
Oh, I remember when they were constantly picking between the first and fifth overall pick.
Yeah.
That means you're also picking at the top of every other round. And even despite all that, you show me the breakthroughs. Show me the third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders who are helping this team win baseball games.
Kobe Mayo.
He's helping Nafa compete.
Yeah, he's on fire.
He's getting on base.
Yeah. Coming up next, we look back to Saturday, and Tony Taters went yard, but the Orioles had some fight, a comeback. The bullpen was great. We look back to Saturday. What did we see that we liked and didn't like? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.
Santander, high and deep to right, and there it is. His first as a Blue Jay, and it comes right here in Baltimore. How good does that feel for him as he rounds the bases and extends the lead to 3-0?
I thought Tomo was just kind of missing off the edge. I thought they did a really good job of shrinking the strike zone, and they made him come into the heart of the plate. And when he did, you know, they hit some balls hard off him. Santander was just due. You knew that was going to come eventually. But I just thought he was kind of missing off the edge a little bit and then had to come in right over the middle part of the plate.
So you heard the highlights courtesy of Sportsnet. Anthony Santander has gotten off to an extremely slow start, which he usually does. He doesn't like the cold weather. His first home run off of Tomoyuki Sugano. And Sugano, of course, Brandon Hyde talking about Sugano after the game. Sugano was not good. 4 2/3, 8 hits, 3 earned, 2 walks, no strikeouts. The home run to Santander. And he couldn't get Bichette and Vlad out to save his life. Like those guys, and everything they hit was hit
hard. Same thing in the first go around.
Yeah.
That's why people who were like, oh, well, I wonder what he would have done if he didn't break out in full body sweats and have, you know, what did it, calluses? What the hell did he have in a...
He had spasms.
Spasms in his hands. Well, I know what he would have happened. He got his ass kicked by the top of their order again, and he would have left anyway. Look, I mean, you want to know what percentile he is in strikeout rate in Major League Baseball?
Tell me, Jason.
1.
That means he's the best.
No, means he's the worst.
Oh, man. You had me.
Like, I'm not saying you got to, you know, he's got to be a strikeout pitcher, but when you're in the fifth percentile in whiff rate And when you miss meatballs, and you haven't even faced a good lineup yet. You might not be your calling, son. You might have waited a little long to come over. Like, I don't know. The league's hitting 400 off his four-seamer. I don't know. Like, that's going to be a problem. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Let's be honest.
Toronto hasn't hit any home runs. Like, Toronto, nobody's really hitting there. He's faced them twice, and the Royals have like a 3.5 guy lineup. He doesn't pass my eye test. He doesn't look like he believes he should be here.
He's had three starts. Okay, he was okay against Kansas City. Well, give him credit. 5 1/3, only one earned run, five hits. He did have four strikeouts. He's got one strikeout in two games against the Blue Jays. No,
strikeouts. Nobody swings and misses.
Yeah.
He can't get ahead with his stuff. He gets ahead with a foul ball. Like, again, this isn't like, oh, we'll wait and see. I told you. No. You give $13 million. It's one of the only things you do, and you sell him as your number three starter. I'm going to grade him as a number three starter.
Well, they sold him as the four, and then Grayson got hurt. Now Eflin got hurt.
Grayson's always hurt.
But he wasn't hurt when they signed
him. Eflin got hurt 5 seconds after you traded for him.
Yeah, well, no, you know. But he got healthy then.
Yeah.
He pitched well.
I am not buying this guy. If you're not going to strike anybody out, then you better not walk anybody. And we were sold on this precision beyond like Greg Maddux level type precision.
Yeah, the accuracy.
Yeah, not so much.
And
not so much.
And it could have been worse for him. He got three double plays.
Oh, yeah.
To help
the Orioles were getting, they had five double plays in the game. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that's like the other thing, too, though. Like, he's, you know, he doesn't get a lot of ground balls. Like, he's good thing he got those. But, like, if he's going to miss center cut, and I made a big deal out of it when it happened in Tampa when he faced the Yankees' real lineup. Because that's the AL East. And they embarrassed him. And then he came in, crapping his pants, the next start after that in the regular season, and he embarrassed himself. And then he pulled it together in Kansas City in a huge ballpark against a team that likes to slap the ball the other way, and that was fine.
Yeah.
It was good. Still too many walks, still too many misses, still too many deep counts for what you sold him as, for what he needs to be for you to survive, because he needs the defense to bail him out, because he's not going to bail you out with swing and miss. And then he sees a team for the second time for the first time, and it's an embarrassment.
Second time he's seen a team for the second time.
Or you could say it's the first time he's faced a team for the second time.
Yeah, first time he's seen a team twice.
Both accurate.
Yeah. It's like saying that the draft is a week from Thursday.
Read my mind.
Or 2 weeks from last Thursday.
Read my mind.
I see where you're going with that. That does make total sense. What gets lost in this shuffle is on Saturday, the Orioles offense showed some fight for the first time all season, and you hoped it would carry over, and they did take a lead yesterday but lost. But like the home run from Kerstad, the home run from Adley, the reaction to the Adley home run, seeing some emotion out of these guys for the first time in a while.
That used to be the norm.
Yes.
That looked like 2023, where it was 13.
It did.
It was 13 up, 13 down for Bowden Francis. But there was a lot of hard contact in those first four innings. And then they were finally able to break through. And all five of those runs were scored with two outs. And Sed continues to get it done.
Now, again, hat tip to John Schneider, because there was nobody at the bowling alley in Cortland, New York that I was with
at this baseball tournament
with a couple of dads. And watch it on a phone, and we're dumbfounded that he's going to let Bowden Francis face the lefty, the who's the best hitter on the Orioles team right now, and he's been amazing with men on base, and he destroys right-handed pitching at Camden Yards since the start of last year, and that's what he let him do. And then the chef's kiss, I felt like, was going lefty-lefty on Jackson, who can't hit the ball to the infield. That was a chef's kiss, but the Orioles took advantage, and that's what good teams do. Again, the problem is they followed it up with a dud the next day.
Yeah. They've yet to win two in a row.
But, like, I'm just saying, hold them to the standard they sold. We'll play the clips. Go back the way they talked about this guy, the way they sold this guy. This guy needed to come in and be ready to compete at a major league level. What I'm watching is a joke. It is Carmine. It's Carmine from the Bad News Bears, and it's pathetic.
Orioles off today. They're back in action tomorrow as they start a three-game set at Camden Yards against the Cleveland Guardians. Baltimore Baseball Night from Pickles at 6 o'clock tomorrow. It's a 7 o'clock game since it's nationally televised. But coming up next, Terps basketball. They've added 8 players. More are to come. What does Keith Cavanaugh from the Terrapin Times think about what Buzz Williams has done so far? Plus, maybe touching on a little football, too, as the transfer portal getting wacky down there in College Park. Keith Cavanaugh joins us next here on The Fan.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Bald Rat is gone, and with him the entire Maryland basketball roster. I guess Chance Stevens shut out the lights on his way out the door. He was the last one to go. Buzz Williams in the fold. He's added 8 guys with more to come. Let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Keith Cavanaugh, Terrapin Times is where you find him. Joins us now. And Keith, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So according to one estimate, Maryland has spent $7.1 million adding transfers from the portal. What do you think of the job Buzz has done thus far?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Yeah, right now you're at 8. He'll probably only go to 13. I don't expect him to go to 15. But what I really like right now is the roster composition. Interchangeable parts, depth pieces. We know how Buzz likes to play, full-on pressure, end-to-end. You've got a bench developing. You've got rotational, situational guys. Clearly, you still want another shooter. You want another big. I like the guy coming on the 17th, Kelvin Odie from Southern California, top 65 player, former West Virginia high school signee, high motor wing, physical athlete, scores at all 3 levels. And Tyrell Ward, formerly at DeMatha, now at LSU in the portal, shot over 40% from 3. He wants in at Maryland, too. He's had some issues over the years, but he's an eminent talent. So you have people out there. Yes, you've lost a few, like Bryce Lindsey, in the last couple of days. But, you know, keep in mind, he was 6th man at JMU, so the world is not over. So this guy's bringing in the pieces that fit his system, his relentless game, where you need to rotate a lot of guys. 8 in, probably 5 more to go, and visits continuing this week and waiting for the next shoe to drop here.
Keith, it's a long way until the season starts back up next fall, but I think we all thought, okay, this is going to be a transition year, given the timing of Buzz coming in a week after the portal opened, but he's really gotten after it with all the players that you were mentioning. Could they be better in year one than we think?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize the local tentacles he has. Okay, so yeah, he was at Virginia Tech. Yes, he's friendly with Lefty, and going back to George Raveling and Chucky Drizel was at the presser, but also a former local AAU kind of power broker who later became Jimmy Butler's agent and who knows Buzz is back in the area and in touch and helping. So he's got people say, oh my gosh, he doesn't have any DMV ties or what have you. But he does, and he's really got Boston on lockdown. Already two out of that area, and Sebastian Wilkins, the 6'8 big from Brewster Academy, a visit over the weekend. He's a 2026 guy. I mean, reclassed to 26. So you got tentacles everywhere nationally, and you'll have locally too. So I think he's hit the ground running quicker. He's met with all the DMV, AAU power brokers over the past weekend. He brought in a bunch of kids, more coming in this weekend. So, you know, he has familiarity nationally, locally, bringing the entire staff up from TAMU. Obviously, the whole Maryland staff and roster are gone from here. So I like the first couple weeks when everybody thought, oh, my gosh, you know, the sky is falling. The entire team and roster and staff are gone. But this rebuild is going pretty expeditiously.
You mentioned Buzzball and sort of what that connotes and means, and we think a lot of that will mesh really well with the Big Ten. But he's taken a little heat about maybe not having the shooting prowess, right? And we saw Willard be a little late to come to that. Do you think that's something that's still in the cards through a recruit and or the portal? Do you think that's something that he's come around on, just looking at the scope of modern basketball?
Are you talking about getting more shooters in?
Yes.
There? Yeah, I mean, Kelvin can fill it. Tyrell can fill it. You're still involved with some other guys. Sincere Parker out of McNeese State, I think he shot almost 39% from three. And again, guys, the portal's open for another week or 11, 10 mm-hmm. days. So they're mining the current portal guys, keeping an eye on new entries every day to the portal, doing a balancing act with the finances, how to parcel out the money. But clearly, they're going to probably get up to $9 million. Now, they had 2.5 carryover from the Terps Collective that they had to use or lose by this month. So they're combining that with the new revenue share. And I know Maryland kicked him a little more money than they were going to give Willard towards the revenue sharing pot of $21.5 million overall. So he's going to have some money to play with. But it's a balancing act because, you know, you can't go, oh, I'm going to keep Gillespie and Rice at 1.3 and 1.5 each per year. I see Rice is visiting Southern Cal now. You can't pay that much for two guys when you got to backfill an entire roster and pay everybody. So I like how things are going. I like a lot of boosters have stepped up and given more to the NIL and collectors while they can before those go belly up in July. Now, I like Maryland's new commitment to more resources monetarily to basketball, most particularly NIL. And he's got the new practice facility opening in June, and they all move in there in August.
Talking with Keith Cavanaugh, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Keith, you mentioned Willard a few minutes ago, and we haven't talked to you since that all went down. Just you've had a little bit of time to digest it all. What'd you think of how that all finished up and the distraction in the tournament and then Willard finally leaving for Villanova?
Well, I did hear Jason go scorched earth that one day and almost drove off the road. That was epic. It was all about me.
Right.
What a magical season for the Terps, all diminished by purely bizarre behavior down the stretch. Hollywood could not scripted a worse exit. Maybe Damon did dump on him the first 3 years here, late to the NIL game, favoring football issues. They wanted two gyms in the new facility. They only got one. So he had some merit with some of his criticism. But then he took a dump on the whole Terp Nation, their fans, the program, the players. Hey, in that locker room after the final game, Derek Queen and others, they gave him the business verbally on the way out. Trust you me. And the following day, he was supposed to have a team meeting that bumped to the next day on a Zoom. I don't even know if anyone even logged in. So there are some folks at Villanova, fans already maybe thinking, do we have any buyer's remorse here? Because he clearly proved to have a few screws loose in the last couple of weeks here. Burned a lot of bridges, but it was a carbon copy of how he exited Seton Hall as well. But look at player dedication and faith to a coach. Look at how many TAMU guys have followed Buzz up here. Only one current Maryland player is on his way to Villanova so far in Palmer. Gillespie, obviously Tennessee. Rice, I doubt, is going to go there. He did get Chris Jeffrey, the high school signee for the Terps, the four-star point guard. He was Palmer's high school teammate at Mount Zion. So a lot of guys following Buzz. We'll see how many follow Willard and the fact he didn't retain any of the staff up there at Villanova. Nardi was obviously gunning for that job. He didn't get it, so he took the whole Maryland staff. I would like to see him keep Kevin Norris here for Baltimore recruiting purposes, but that did not happen. But I like his staff, Devin Johnson, Steve Roccaforti, Lyle Wolf, Vince Walden, and particularly his RCs, his recruiting coordinators, the Wabisa Bede, who's tied into that Mass Rivals AAU team and is bringing all these kids down.
Keith, let's end with football. What's the latest portal-wise? I know a couple of their starters.
We got Malik, man. We got Malik. Malik's legit.
I've
seen him several times. Malik's legit.
And how's the team 12 days away from the spring game?
Oh, I apologize. I said Jimmy Butler. It's Dwayne Wade, his former agent, who's back in the DMV helping out Buzz. But anyhow, I digress. So football, the Titanic is continuing to list more and more here in lurch. You just had four presumptive starters leave this week, and one of them, four-star offensive tackle, Terrez Davis from DeMantha, went out the door and said because he didn't have a contract and got no money from Maryland. Now, I will give Locks credit this. Way back in the day when Portal started, he was proactive and ahead of the curve. He got his finance guy in Baltimore, build a football collective, right out of the gate. So it took Damon 3 years to get around to having an overall NIL at Maryland, but football was well-financed. How Terrez Davis out of DeMatha, whose dad was NBA player, Ricky Davis, four-star, he would have started this year. What did he tweeted, he put out on social media today, I got no contract, I got no money. I'm not leaving because I'm getting poached. I'm leaving because I don't get any respect. LaVon Johnson projected starting nose tackle Braden Wislowski, who last year was all Big Ten kick and punt returner. This past year was in witness protection. He's gone. But the biggest hit was probably your top returning defensive starter, Kellen Wyatt from Spalding, who grew up, Maryland's my dream school, outside linebacker, 1 year left. He checked out yesterday. So spring game is not till the 26th, okay? So how many more are going to trickle out from a roster that's already light in the ass and missing a lot of key pieces? And retention is more the theme this spring than guys leaving. But don't tell me Maryland football doesn't have money and these guys are getting poached by that bigger powers to be, like a Chop Robinson or Jay Sean Barm or even C.J. Dupree down to Alabama. Now, we're never going to compete with those people for the money. But if you can't even pay Terrez some walk-around money, something's fundamentally wrong out there. So spring has not gone quite well.
Keith Cavanaugh, Terrapin Times. Great talking to you, man. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Take care.
Coming up next, we get to the NFL. Purple rain in the forecast. The NFL draft is a week from Thursday. And ADC, he doesn't like to trade up, doesn't like to make buy kind of trades. And the draft, could he change his spots a little bit? Is it possible we'll see the Ravens break trend and make a buy kind of trade? We'll tell you next here on The Fan. Ravens head into this draft a week from Thursday with 11 picks. I think that's tied for the most picks of any team in this draft. Ravens, they if they make trades, it's usually trade down scenarios, adding picks. Is it possible, though, Jason, we could see them change their spots a little this year?
So hear me out on this.
Mm-hmm.
So we've identified over the course of various exercises and discussions going back, I don't know, probably a month, even longer on Andrews, that if there's guys they want to move who might be, I don't want to say, well, some of them are surplus to requirements, some of them just, it's a little bit of redundancy, or you just want to keep moving forward. They have a number of guys, Mark Andrews, Ajabo, who they can get future picks for. They've already got 11 now. So, like, could they package some of these picks to move up and get more quantity and still accomplish their goal of coming out of a draft loaded for bear the following year? Because of all the comps they got this year, because they could still trade a few veterans for 2026 draft picks, because not everybody's going to make your 2025 roster. And at the same time, break tendency in 2025 and package some picks to move up.
It's possible, but I would say just looking at Eric DaCosta's history since taking over as GM in 2019, they had that trade in the 2022 draft. where they moved back into the first round, ended up getting Tyler Linderbaum. That was the player trade with Marquise Brown and 100th pick. But in terms of just a true pick-for-pick move-up, the highest round Eric DaCosta is traded up in was the third round, his first draft. And that was to get Miles Boykin. He's traded down in the He's traded down in the first round twice, in 2019 and in 2022. So we haven't really seen him take these big type of swings in day one or day two. He's had a couple of times where he's traded back into the draft at the end of the draft in the seventh round, the sixth. I'm with you. But I look back at all of his trades since 2019, and the highest round was Miles Boykin, his first draft.
I am picking up what you're putting down, though, Jason, because this is a very different situation. Like, 2019 is what it is, but this year,
2019, they were trying to reset the franchise for the next 10 years. They weren't in win-right-bleeping-now mode with a $50 million quarterback.
Yeah,
they've been in win-now mode these past couple years.
But we've spent a month, as you said, discussing that they have they're targets. And what if there's a guy they like a lot more than the other guys, and you're not, as you said, all these guys aren't going to make this team. Why not package to move up a little bit to get the guy you really want?
And I'm all for this, by the way. I'm just saying, based on his history, and we were saying this last week, Jason, he loves having this abundance of picks, because the more picks, the higher likelihood that you're going to hit on some of these
picks. But it was just a few years ago that they dominated the fourth round, and how many of those guys are players?
Well, they got the two tight ends.
Likely and Kohler.
Likely and Kohler, yeah. They like that. So, they had the six fours that year.
It's six fours, and you're giving me two players at one position.
I'm with you. I'm with you on the logic, and I would like to see him
take a big
swing.
Don't you think they could learn from that?
So the six fours were Falele, who's now a guard. Jalen Armour Davis.
A starter.
Charlie Kohler.
Blocking tight end. Okay.
Jordan Stout, their punter. Yeah. Isaiah Likely.
Okay.
And Pepe Williams.
So, I mean, come on.
Those were the six.
I'm talking about going get a needle mover on a team that needs a needle mover on defense to put them over the top, and you're selling me on a middling punter, three guys who do nothing, and a dude who finally started playing year three as a guard.
No, I'm with you. But let's go back to that draft.
And how long did it take those guys to develop? And you're trying to win now before you restructure Lamar's contract again.
Let's talk about that in real time. We all were shocked that they kept all six of those picks.
Yeah.
We thought for sure they'd package a couple of them to move back to somebody they target in like round three, but they didn't. They kept them all.
And I mean, I'm just like, so I'm keeping an open mind, and I'm thinking that they've learned from some mistakes, and I'm thinking that they're looking at this. We just did the six-pack last week, position groups. Like, the strength of this draft is defense. Yeah, at some positions like D-tackle, it's quantity, quantity, quantity. But it's not quite the same at edge, and it's definitely not the same at safety, and it's not quite the same at corner. And they have needs at all those positions. And they've had loaded drafts in the past, and they've kept those kids. So they all the year three kids and all these draft picks can't make it. And you've got veterans who I already told you, can turn into future fives and future fours or whatever. I don't know, man. It would seem like a confluence of events to have them maybe do something in the second round that they don't normally do and still be able to clean up in rounds four and five.
I would love to see it. Identify that player. If it's starting to fall down the board, be aggressive and go up and get that impact player. And you already have, and things can change depending on how the upcoming season goes, but three projected comp picks for next year, and that's before any of those trades.
And could they also do this? Because I keep doing these exercises and penciling it out. And I think Jackson Dart's going somewhere between like 25 and 32. I don't know where. And it's going to be via trade. Like, could they do that? And let's just say, hypothetically, it's like Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And you trade out and you get even more. Now you've got 13 picks in the final six rounds of this. And you've got one at the top of the second round, and you use that one, and you take a 2 and a 3 and you get like two of the first 10 players off the board day two. Especially if teams are reaching for offensive guys and it's pushing it down and you get a you know what I mean? You're not picking with that hypothetical Cleveland pick at the second pick of the day two and then not picking again for 3 hours. You're moving back like sort of like they did with Dobbins, right? Didn't they move up for Dobbins?
No.
They didn't move up for Dobbins.
That was the Hayden Hurst pick, if I memory serves.
Well, whatever. And you do that and you lean into two kids knowing that that second one's not going to be there at pushing pick 60.
Hey, I love to see it, and it does make sense being that there are certain positions, like there are needs that like, and there's not a lot of needs on this team, but they're like in a draft like this, if there's a guy you really like, why not?
And this also just seems like a year in which you had so much turnover last year, where this year it's pretty status quo. Your division is weaker across the board. The Chiefs still need offensive line help. This would be the year.
Yeah. I mean, you need like, you're trying to find maybe somebody better than Van Noy.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Like, do you want Kyle Van Noy to be your best pass rusher? I'm even using air quotes there. Edge player going into the 2026 playoffs.
You'd like to have...
Right? You'd like to get something better than him. Well, if they're not going to pay for it, this is your shot.
Yeah. Ravens will be drafting next Thursday, a week from Thursday, is the NFL draft, at least the beginning, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But coming up next, we get back to the Orioles and all the young dudes, and a young dude in particular, Gunnar Henderson. And did they fall into the same trap they've fallen in the past? Did they bring Gunnar back too soon? We'll explain next here on The Fan.